today on Real Radio.
Jesus said when he was gathering his followers, "Follow me." As long as they followed him, it was good. Jesus says to you tonight, "Follow me." Why? He wants to bless your life. When we get out and away from him is when it's not good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Time of Decision, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. Isaiah prophesied from the year 739 BC to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. So through Isaiah, God had to warn Israel of the coming judgment in the hope that his chosen people would return to him. The book of Isaiah also provides us with a full scope into the life of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sacrificial death, and his glorious return. In Isaiah chapter 32, we took another look at the time when Christ returns as king and when he'll rule the nations with justice and truth, a time when Christ's followers will march into his kingdom rejoicing, fully healed and restored. We also saw how God's kingdom is within us. Wherever we go, we have the opportunity to share the kingdom life with others. Now, in Isaiah chapter 33, we'll see how Isaiah's prophecy against the Assyrian Empire comes to pass, but not before God uses them to fight against Judah. So today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah cries out to the Lord to be gracious to Judah in their time of trouble. There will come a time when the Lord will interject himself into the affairs of nations, specifically in the Middle East. But Judah looks to other nations for help in their fight against Assyria. They still don't realize that it's the goodness of God that keeps the enemy back. And now continuing his lesson called A Time of Decision, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 25, "Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance." That's the future. This is going to happen without the UN. This is going to happen without the EU and without the US. God is going to do this. This is amazing. Here we are. We've got the Bible open to a book that's 3,000 years old. And we're looking ahead to the future. And the Bible tells you in advance how it's going to end. It's not going to be right until Christ returns. Thank God he's coming back in the second coming. But look at verses 2 through 6. There's the cry of Isaiah for Judah when God arises. He says, "O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be there, or Judah's arm, every morning." This is, again, Isaiah speaking. "Our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult," this is the enemy, "at the noise of the enemy, the people shall flee. When you lift up yourself," or "you lift yourself up, the nations shall be scattered." So now Isaiah goes from Sennacherib and he's announcing there's going to come a time when God is going to interject himself in the dealings of nations, and specifically in the Middle East with what's happening. And it's absolutely awesome, to say the least. Look at verse 4. "And your plunder," that is the enemy, "shall be gathered like the gathering of a caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts." In other words, devastation. "He," that is the Lord, "shall run upon them." The Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. He has filled Zion, Jerusalem, another name for Jerusalem, with justice and righteousness. So he goes now to the time of Christ assembling his kingdom. "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Remarkable, difficult stuff to study. Isaiah speaks in these compartments. It would be great if somebody produced a Bible that would be color-coded, for example, that the first part of what I read in verse 1 or 2, for example, would be a certain color of he's talking to them, and now he's talking to the future. Very, very technical. Verses 7 through 9 is the lamentation of having trusted in the Egyptians. Here's what happens. Now forget about what I just said about chapter 19. That's in the future, but we're not there right now. We're back to Isaiah 33. Judah has said this to themselves. Wow, Sennacherib came with his army. He devastated our brothers in the north, Israel. We better turn to our neighbors down south, Egypt, and have them help us. They'll deliver us. They never turned to the Lord. They never cried out to God. It's easy to do that. We're prone to do that. You get a headache. Instead of saying, Lord, take away my headache, I'll reach for an aspirin. I should ask him first. But I have to confess, I'm just that carnal. Oh man, I got a headache, or my neck hurts, ibuprofen. Instead of just saying, hey Lord, my neck hurts. You say, well, that's kind of simple, isn't it? Well, that's the point. When a nation begins to lean on some other nation for support instead of going to the Lord, it's not a good thing. Watch what happens. Surely, and it's Judah, their valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace, these are those that Judah sent to Egypt to make peace. Hey, we need help because the Assyrian Empire is coming, shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The traveling man ceases. He, that is Sennacherib, has broken the covenant. He, Sennacherib, has despised the cities. Again, Sennacherib regards no man. The earth, and this is a reference to Israel and Judah, mourn and languish. Lebanon is shamed and shriveled. Sharon, this is the beautiful valley in Israel, is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Everything's failing. The enemy is coming. Now watch verse 10. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. Verse 11, you shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. Now God is speaking judgment against Sennacherib. You say, Jeff, but didn't he send them against Judah? Yes, this is what he does. And when the enemy has accomplished the task, then God will turn. And you say, well, isn't that unjust of God? Not at all. We've said this a few months ago. Let me say this again. How is God innocent in setting this up? Perfectly. This is how. Watch what happens. It's in Sennacherib's mind to conquer the entire world. He wants to do this. It's in his heart. It's in his mind. The Assyrian Empire is his tool. That's in him. That's over here. God's people are not listening to the Lord. What God does without him compromising, because he's not evil, he's always good, is God lifts his protection. He doesn't say, wow, you know what? You guys have really ticked me off. I'm going to put a thought in the king's Sennacherib's mind to go after you guys, even though he didn't want to. I'm going to make him. That's not how God rolls. It's in the man's heart to conquer Israel and Judah. God keeps the evil from coming with his protection. Think of this now in America or in whatever country, if you're watching tonight, whatever country you're in. Think of this. If that nation doesn't seek the Lord, there's always a nation, there's always a terrorist group desiring to conquer you. And the reason why they don't is because it's the goodness of God that keeps the enemy back like a flood. When our sins have reached a point where God says, I know you're not going to turn back to me unless you're chastised. I don't want to spank you, so I'm not going to. I'm going to move my umbrella of protection over here for a little bit, and the enemy's going to come in. This is true in every area of our lives today. Over and over again, we hear the Lord say, walk with me. Jesus said when he was gathering his followers, follow me. As long as they followed him, it was good. Jesus says to you tonight, follow me. Why? He wants to bless your life. When we get out and away from him is when it's not good. He does not desire to chastise us. But when we reach a point where you might be here tonight saying, well, you know what? I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Nothing's happened to me yet. Nobody knows. I mean, I know God knows everything, but he hasn't told me no. Well, let me ask you this. What you're doing that you think you're getting away with, is it wrong? To God, is it wrong? Not you. To God, is it wrong? Well, yeah. There's a verse or two about it in the Bible. If you've not yet been chastised, it's because of his sheer mercy right now in grace. Are you his child? If you are, A, repent of whatever it is before him now and run from it. B, if you don't, he says he will expose you. You say, well, there's no way anybody could know. He will expose you. If that doesn't get you, then he will allow you to be chastised by your own sin. And all the while, he didn't do it. He just stepped back and let all the ugliness that was wanting to destroy you in the first place come against you. That's called his grace. Did you have a good day today? Did you make it through today? Even if you had a bad day and you're here right now, it's still a good day. Because if you could only see in the invisible world what the enemy has pointed at your head and it didn't happen, it's because God is good. He loves you and he loves me and he's protecting. And what you want to do, like little chicks, you know, you can go to the, even though it's wintertime in California, you still go to the feed store. You go to the Pomona or Yorba Linda grain. I know you guys have horses and you buy real horse food. I go there and buy like seed for the little bird. But they have these big cages with little chicks running around. Cheep, cheep, cheep. And it's so cute because, listen, the moms, the if somebody scares them, the little hens run right under the wings of the mom, the hen. The little chicks, whoom, right under the mom. And she goes out like this. And you can't even see them. That's what we're supposed to do with the Lord. When the world goes, boo, we're supposed to run under his wings and he will protect us like that. We'll have shelter under the wings of the Almighty, right? He promises this. And when temptation comes, it's so, listen, temptation, we know what it is when it comes. Hi, how are you? You know in an instant, dude, I should run. Run, Forrest, run. You know when the temptation hits. You know it's temptation. Every man knows this. This is a temptation. And then it's you either run or it goes downhill from there. Should I run? If you have to ask, run. If you have to ask, run. Well, I don't know if this, you know, if it's a temptation. If you have to think about it, run. Better to run and find out it's not than to not run and find out it is. Run. Because, listen, God's grace is always enough. He will always, with every temptation, provide an escape for us. Run. It's so vitally important. Don't choose to rest upon your own strength or, well, I've beat this temptation before, I'll do it again. Don't do that. Don't do that. God says, now he uses what was in the very heart of the enemy. He didn't put it there, it was in their heart. And verse 12, and the people shall be like the burnings of lime, like thorns cut up. They shall be burned in the fire. Hear, you who are afar off, what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. Listen to what he's saying. Verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. So now the verse 14, God is announcing to the Assyrian Empire, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to start with your king for coming against my people because it was in your heart, but I'll use this attack. And now look at verse 14. God says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearful ones, or fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Simply this, God looks and he says, okay, this is it. And this is terrifying. He looks at Judah and he zooms in and he, imagine, what city do you live in? He zooms in on that city. Then he zooms in on your street. Then he zooms in on the 10 houses around your house. Then he zooms in. He parses down each. Think about it. He knows what's going on in each home, so to speak. And he's saying, now, regarding the sinners that are in Judah, the nation has departed from me, but there's always a remnant. But now God says, those who are bent on disobeying me, bent on death, as it were. This is interesting because he says, who shall be able to dwell among the fire? And listen, this is cool. Write it in your margins, verse 14. You may never be reading this again or in quite a while. Some scholars believe, and I have to agree with them, that this is none other than a reference to the promise made by the Lord to Israel at the midpoint of the tribulation period. Circle verse 14 and say it's possible that this is a warning from the Lord concerning Israel in the future. The sinners in Zion are afraid. The godless that live in Zion will be afraid or are afraid. Fearfulness has seized upon the hypocrites. These are not God's people. They live among God's people, but they're not God's people. So watch. The Bible identifies a place that many scholars believe verse 14 is opening the door to. And this gets a little technical, but I think it's fun, church. If you can fly with me on this. The Bible identifies a place called Bozra, B-O-Z-R-A-H in Hebrew, or Petra in Greek, as one of the significant areas during the end times regarding the prophetic messages in the Bible regarding Israel. Micah chapter 2, verse 12. Listen, Micah chapter 2, verse 12 says, this is about 500 years before Christ was born, 540 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Micah said, I will surely assemble, O Jacob. What's another name for Jacob? Israel. All of the, I'm reading out of the Old King James. By the way, this is a good moment. The Old King James right now, in this verse, Micah chapter 2, verse 12, is the only translation of the original language that gets this right. Not even the New King James gets this right. So look at your Bibles carefully if you care to right now. Listen to this. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel, those that are left. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. The word here in Hebrew is a very tight place, a small place. So God says, I'm going to gather the remnant of my people. We don't have to guess who they are. It's Israel, Jacob, at a time when there's only a few of them left, and I'm going to gather them in a very tight, small place. Most scholars, and I have to agree, no doubt, that this is a mention, this is a reference to Petra in Jordan. In your Bibles, write this down if you care to study this more fully. It's awesome. It's S-E-L-A, not H, S-E-L-A, Selah. It sounds like Selah of the Bible, where it's S-E-L-A-H, where that word in Hebrew means to meditate or to pause. S-E-L-A is a geographical place in ancient Moab or Edom or Jordan today. Selah goes by another name also, Petra, in your Bible. Watch what happens. According to the Bible, in the last days, the Antichrist is going to arise. He's going to make that covenant 7-year treaty with the nation of Israel. Halfway through, at the 3.5-year point, the Bible says he's going to break that treaty, and the Jews are going to realize this guy's deceived us, and they're going to flee from Jerusalem. And the Bible says they're going to flee to a very, very small fold, a tight, small little place. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Run, flee. When you see the Antichrist set up something in the temple that defiles the temple during the tribulation period. Revelation 12, verse 3. It all ties back to one little verse, Isaiah 33, 14. It's amazing. Revelation 12, verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars of the heaven and threw them to the earth. This is both Daniel and the book of Revelation, they align together. This is none other than Satan, the manifestation of the dragon through the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, follow along now, to devour her child, notice capital C in the Greek, it's divine child, as soon as it was born. Think about your Christmas story in the Gospels. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Does that sound familiar? Do you know anybody who's destined to do that? And her child was caught up to God and his throne, which is another awesome thing to study later. It's not he was caught up to God and God's throne. He was caught up to God and his throne. Whoever the child is that the woman brought forth and was caught up returns back to his throne. That's kind of awesome. You should have said, ooh, at that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, in a message called A Time of Decision. Thanks for taking the time to join us today, and the time is right now to turn to Christ and turn away from those things that can ultimately destroy you. A Time of Decision is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we study the prophetic book of Isaiah and consider all that's happening today, you may still have some questions about the issues you face in your daily walk with the Lord, and you may also be wondering how events will play out in the future. That's why Pastor Jack has some Q&A segments on his YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. These mini Q&A videos dive into questions about the rapture, or how should a Christian stand for truth in this liberal culture, or how do we pray according to God's will? There's also Q&A videos on how to prepare to give a defense of our faith, and also, how can we avoid isolation? There are a lot of videos to choose from when you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Also, don't forget to click on the notifications icon to stay informed on all the latest videos. And if you need any more information, simply head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.